Blog Talk Radio.
Bless the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout glory. But we're here to magnify the Lord, to make him bigger, make him larger than anything that's going on. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Let's put your hands together. Hallelujah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Come on, sing.
Oh.
Says, if
Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess. So today we'll hear, and the name of Jesus will continually be exalted throughout this broadcast and throughout our lives. Today we are excited about the Word of God. We're excited what God has given us to bring to you, men and women, boys and girls. We're going to be coming from the Old Testament, and we're going to be speaking from Exodus, the third chapter. And I want you to get ready. If you have not already called a neighbor and call a friend, then let them know that the Hour of Power broadcast is on the air. You still have time to call them so that they can be able to hear the Word of God. God's Word of God will bring light unto them that are in darkness. So if you want more God this morning, all you need to do is tune in and hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto his people. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done, all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thy word that we hid in our heart, that we will not sin against thee. Thank you, Father, for the listeners today. Bless them forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Well, I'm Dr. Mary Smith McCoy, the preacher of the hour, and we're here to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising Word of God that is able to save your soul and to make you whole. Come on, let's go to the book of Exodus, and we're going to begin at the third chapter, as we said before, and we're going to begin at that first verse. We're going to talk about the call of Moses and the burning bush. Now, Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of the Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even unto Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. And when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Let's pause there just for a few minutes. Here we see God as in his greatness. We see God as he does things as no other individual or person can ever expect to do, because he is God. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the true and the living God. And I proclaim this morning, because you need to really to catch this and to hear me, I said that God has all power in his hand, and that he is able to do exceedingly exceedingly, abundantly above all that we ask or think. No matter what the request is, God is able to move on your behalf. What is it that you need God to do? And what is it that God wants you to do? Here we see today in the Word of God how Moses was on the backside of the desert and how the angel of the Lord had appeared to him. And it appeared to him, the Word of God say, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And here Moses looked. And when he looked, he see, he behold that the bush, it burned with fire. You've seen things on fire. You've seen grass on fire. You've probably seen a bush on fire, but your expectation was that that bush was going to be consumed. And that bush was only going to burn for a little while, and it was going to be consumed. But here, we see God as he allowed this bush to burn, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses, when he seen it, he said, I'm going to turn aside and I'm going to see this great sight, because he recognized it as being unusual. He recognized it being something that he had not seen before. Had he seen it before, he would not have entertained it. He would not stop. He would not want to behold something that he all probably already had seen. But no, he had not seen this. This was the work of God. The bush was not consumed, so therefore he decided that he's going to pay attention to what was happening to this bush. Why was it not being consumed? Why was it burning? And God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. Can you imagine that? You're looking at a bush, and you are seeing that the bush is not being consumed, and then you hear a voice out of the bush. I mean, a voice that's speaking out of a burning bush. And then it's not only speaking out of the burning bush, but it began to call your name. It called Moses' name. He said, Moses. Moses, and he said, here am I. God was calling Moses. He knew his name. He knew who he was talking to. He knew what attention he was trying to get. He knew what it took and what it takes to get one attention. Sometimes we can be so busy in our everyday occurrence, things that are happening. We're going from day to day. We're so busy with one thing to another until we're not seeking the face of God. We are not hearing God. But then God had this bush to burn and not be consumed. And so then God spoke through this bush. And then when he spoke to it, he called his name. He said, Moses, Moses. And then he replied, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither, but put off thy shoes from off thy feet. For the place whereon thou standest is on holy ground. Oh my God. See, God was letting him know that you are on not just any kind of ground, but you are on a ground that needs to be reverenced, a ground that you need to pull off your shoes, because you're on holy ground. The place where thou standest is holy. and it's a holy ground. In that sixth verse, he said, moreover, he said, I am the God of your father. I'm going to tell you, I'm not just going to call your name. And I'm not going to just let you see the burning of this bush. But I want you to know who it is that's speaking unto you. He said, I am the God of your father. I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face. Come on. He knew he was before the greatness. He knew he was before the I am. He knew he was before a God in his greatness, a God that is able to move on his behalf, a God that is great, a God that is awesome, a God that it can do and do any and everything. So here, because he was in front of greatness, and in front of someone that supersedes anybody that he'd been before that day. So Moses was so afraid to look on God that he hid his face. I can imagine, and you can go with me this morning, how this man of God felt. I mean, it was an honor, number one, for God to choose him. Yes, he could have chosen anybody else, but he decided that I'm going to use Moses. And I'm going to get his attention. And I'm going to call him because I have a work for him to do. But first of all, I need to get his attention. Is God trying to get your attention this morning? Is God trying to speak unto you this morning? God is letting him know that I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And then he knew that he was in the presence of the Almighty God. And the Lord said, I have seen. Then God get ready to make his case. Let him know why I'm calling you. Why I need to get your attention. Why I need to use you. He said, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. And I like that. He said, I have seen the affliction of my. He made it personal, that pronoun. He made it personal. I have seen the affliction. I've seen the condition. I've seen the pain. I've seen the suffering. I've seen the distress. I've seen the misery of the people, of my people, which are in Egypt, in a place that they are in, a place that they are in bondage and have heard their cry. He said, I've heard their cry. I've seen them in their suffering. I've seen them with the tears running down their face. I've seen them weep. I've seen them shed tears. So, now, and the reason they are shedding tears, the reason why they are afflicted is because of their taskmaster, one that rules over them, one who imposed burdensome taxes upon them. They do rigorously work hard, difficult things. The people are being afflicted And I want you, I want to use you to deliver my people. He said there in that seventh verse, he said, I know their sorrow. And then he said, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land with a good land, unto a good land and a large, and unto a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, I want to take them to the promised land. I want to take them that they don't have to be afflicted anymore. Is somebody out there, are you being afflicted? Are you going through some suffering and pain and distress? Are you at the point of the tears that are running down your cheek? Are your eyes full of water because of you've been oppressed by bills, by things on your job, by people on your job? Are you being oppressed by people in your community? Are you being oppressed by the things that you see every day that is happening on the news? Are you being oppressed? Are you in sorrow because of these things? But God is saying that I want to bring them out of the Egyptian land. I want to bring them up to into a land that flowed, a land unto a good land, and a large land that flows with milk and honey, with a place, unto a place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. And in that ninth verse, God is saying, now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me. They're crying. I see them. I see them crying. I hear them cry. So therefore, here, I have seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. They do undo burdensome and cruelty and unjust things to my people. I've seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Come on. I need you to go to Pharaoh. I am going to send you to Pharaoh that thou may bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. I want you to go and get my people. I want you to go and speak unto Pharaoh. I will send thee, he says, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, listen what Moses said. And does this sound like you? Does this sound like anybody you know? Does this sound like somebody don't want to really go and afraid to go and do what God has ordained them and called them to do? In that 11th verse, it reads, and Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh? See, he want God to focus in on Pharaoh because he thought Pharaoh was so great and so mighty, and the people perceived him to be this way. So therefore, he's saying to God, who am I that Israel out of Egypt. I'm nobody. I can't do that. What is Pharaoh going to say when I go tell him what you want me to speak unto him? You're telling me that you want me to go and to speak to Pharaoh in behalf of your people, the Israelites, to bring them out of the land of Egypt? Hearing that 12th verse says, and he says, certainly I will be with you. And then what God has said, God is calling as a call on somebody's life. And somebody don't want to go. Someone is afraid to go. Somebody is afraid to be used of God. There's a lot in here this morning that God is speaking, and he's speaking to his people. He's speaking to his people today. He said, and this is comforting to know that God, even if he spoke to Moses and said, he said, certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. So this mountain is where you're going to serve me. And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and say unto them, the God of your father has sent me unto you, and they shall say unto me, what is his name? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said, God was just being patient with Moses, like he'll be patient with you, because a lot of things that, you know, you don't know, a lot of things we don't know. And God is just teaching him, just like a teacher. He is instructing him. He is taking his time. He is talking to him. And God letting him know, he said, here in this 14th verse, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Because he want to know, what is his name? What is the people going to say? What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am. Let him know that I am, that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto thee. So you tell them that I am sent me. If they want to know, tell them that it's I am. And God, because he is I am, that I am. He's everything that they need. So here in the word of God, it says, and God said moreover unto Moses, thus shall I say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. Go and gather the elders of Israel together, and say unto them, the Lord God of your father, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and Jacob, appear unto me, saying, I have surely visited you and seen that which is done unto you in Egypt. I've seen all of these things. I've seen the affliction. I've seen how the taskmasters have come against you and caused you to do things rigorously and caused you to be burdensome. I've seen that. I want to deliver you. I want to set you free. I want to bring you out of this place. I want you to go into a place that you can serve me. I want you to go into a place that you don't have to cry because of the fact that you are suffering. of limitation and limitation. You don't have to do that anymore. Because even as the Lord is God, the I Am, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, their God, the God that knew me, has sent me to you. That great I Am have sent me to you. He says, and I have said I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt unto the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites, and a land flowing with milk and honey. And they shall hearken unto thy voice. And thou shalt come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And ye shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us. And now let us go, and we beseech thee 3 days' journey unto the wilderness, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord, sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by a mighty hand. See, God already knew the heart of Pharaoh, but he was taking Moses. He was letting him do what he had asked him to do. He knew that even some of the things that he was telling Moses to speak to the people, the things that he will say to Pharaoh, he knew Pharaoh was going to harden his heart. But then that was going to give him a great way in order to let Pharaoh know that I am God and I am God all by myself. I'm going to show you something. I'm going to let you know that there is a God that supersedes anything that you have tried to put my people through. There are some things in life that confront you today, and you are going through a battle in the mind, a battle in your spirit. But God says, let us know that the battle does not belong to us, but the battle belongs to God. And if the battle belongs to God, why are we fighting the battle? Why are we suffering a poison situation in our lives when we know the I Am that I Am? See, the people and Moses also had to know who he was talking to. He had to get in line up with the word and know the word and to know and hear and be obedient to the word because he was speaking to the word. And God was letting him know that I want you to go to Pharaoh. Who is God sending you to? Who is God telling you to go to tell them to let my people go? Who is God calling you to tell them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life? Who is God sending you to let the people know to come out of their sin and out of their transgression? Who is God sending you to let them know that he is soon to come? For the word of God says he's coming like a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus Christ came that we can have life and that we can have it more abundantly. Who is it that God is speaking? Where is it that God is telling you to go? Who is it? What individual, what people of God is speaking to you? No, it's just not you that in your own mentality. God is speaking to you. And sometimes we can get so comfortable in places that we are in that we forget about the people that's on the outside, the people that are on the other side of town, the people that live at the north and the south and the east and the west, those people that are in Chicago, those people that are in Texas, those people that are in Colorado, those people that are in Alaska, those people that are all over the map, those people, even those people that are next door to you that you haven't spoken the word of God to. But God is saying to Moses that he is sending Moses because he wants him to go and see about my people. I have a message to give to Pharaoh. I want him to let my people go. Isn't that rewarding just to know that God cares for us, to know that he cares about the things that we go through? He cares about the affliction, and he cares about the sorrow, because some people, even right now as I speak, they're going through sorrow. They're going through distress. They're disappointment. They're sad. They're going through grief. They're going through regret. God is so concerned about you because he wants to bring you out with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm. And can't you not see yourself running into the arms of Jesus, coming into the arm of Jesus after you've been afflicted, after you've been in sorrow, that God has the one coming in that he wants to deliver you. He wants to set you free to bring you unto that place that you can be free in him. For the word of God, from whom the Son has made free, and the Son set free is free indeed. So when God makes you free, you can be free indeed, even when your mind is disturbed. Hallelujah. You can be free indeed. When the soul is not free, when things are mind, soul, body, and spirit, you can be free in God. I believe the word of God says in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I believe this morning that somebody needs everlasting life. Somebody needs to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Moses was able to meet the I am that I am. God seen something in Moses that he wanted to use. And you know what? Even when we in ourselves seems like we are not capable, don't have the ability, and we think we don't have the ability to do certain things, like Moses, he stuttered, and then he didn't think that he was the man. I'm not, you know, in his own mentality, I'm not the one to go before Pharaoh. I'm not the one to go before the president or the vice president. I'm not the one to go before my director or my supervisor. I'm not the one that will speak truth. I'm not the one. Tell somebody else. But God knows who he called. God equips those that he called. And he'll tell us, and he'll tell you and all of us what he wants us to say, as he told Moses what to say. Here is that 18th verse. And they shall hearken to that voice, and they shall come, thou and the elders of Israel, unto the king of Egypt. And you shall say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews have met with us, and now let us go. We beseech thee 3 days' journey into the wilderness, that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. And I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. He knew the heart of Pharaoh. He knew the heart of the king, just like he knows your heart. When he knew the heart of the king, he knew that he was not going to let them go initially. He's going to go through some things, but God wants to show himself to Pharaoh, to let him know he's mighty. And he wanted the people of God to see what kind of God that they were serving. He said, I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not with a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. After I've showed him my wonders, after I've let him see who I am, then he's going to let you go. And I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. And it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor and her that sojourneth in her house, jewels of silver and jewels of gold, and raiment. And ye shall put them upon your sons and upon your daughters, and ye shall spoil the Egyptians. Oh, we have heard a word from the Lord. Oh, we have heard God today encourage his people. I believe the word of God says, give my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked way. He said that he will hear from heaven. He will forgive the sin. He said that he will heal the land. Our land needs to be healed. Our sins need to be forgiven. We need to be in that right place with God. If there's anyone out there today, and I know there is, many of you, some of you are backslided on God. Some of you have never had a relationship with him. But I'm talking to you today. The Bible said if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, the word of God said we shall be saved. No matter what you did on last evening, no matter what you did a week ago, no matter what you did a year ago, I want you to know today that God will forgive you for every sin, every transgression, all the wickedness, all the things that you have done. God will forgive you. All you got to do is say, Lord, forgive me. And he will forgive you for all of the things that you have done. Pray with me even now. I'm going to pray for you. And I want you to know that if you just ask God, Lord, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me. Because I want to spend eternity with you. I believe that God will cast every sin into the sea of forgiveness and remember it no more. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this broadcast. We ask you, Lord, even now, for those that have asked you to forgive them for their sins, to come in their heart, save them, deliver them, make them free, God, even now. For your word says, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. God, I just thank you, Lord God, for the angels in heaven rejoicing right now that they have given their lives to you. This has been Dr. Mary Smith McCoy from the Pulse on the Hour Power. Please join us on this coming Friday at the same time. May God bless and keep you. Is our prayers.